Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. At this time also, Lord, may that light shine upon our hearts and may we receive understanding from your word as we receive instruction. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all again, everyone. Good afternoon and good morning. Let's get right to it. Discretion. This is a key thing that all of us need to have. And many times that we don't exercise this particular pillar, you know, it puts us as a disadvantage or even puts us into problems. First of all, discretion is a pillar of wisdom. I'm going to give some scriptures and I'm going to give some definitions, some examples, and say a few other things, and then some benefits and a prayer afterwards. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Let's start there. We're talking about discretion this morning. Praise the Lord. And of all the, as we went through the series on the pillars so far, I mentioned a few times that some of these pillars overlap, but each one will also bring, you know, another perspective one way or another to add to what we have learned so far. So here is something that the Bible says here, Proverbs 3 and 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Well, he's talking about wisdom, knowledge, all these things. Let me read a couple more verses before that just to give us some context. You know, he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and he that getteth understanding, starting from verse 13 of Proverbs 3. And it begins to talk about the value of what that will bring into our life and so forth. Goes down to Proverbs 19, says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. So even the Lord used all that. By his knowledge are the depths broken up. You know, we covered that when we did knowledge, how he used the knowledge to hide even things in the earth, all those precious metals. And he says, keep sound wisdom. By the time he get down here, he says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. You know, then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble, because you are using discretion. Discretion is put right there, right next to wisdom in this case. You know, it causes you to, you know, keep you from even evil, it says. Praise the Lord. So that's the first introduction, my first introduction to discretion. Let's give some definitions. Again, as always, some of these definitions, I looked up the dictionary for what they have to say about the subject. And some definitions I didn't quite like. So I did a little wordsmithing. Adjusted them a bit based on the inspiration of the Almighty. It gave me understanding of some of these things, and I put it together. So here are the definitions that I put together for discretion. Number one, it's the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. That's discretion. Well, this second one, The ability to divulge information about a situation or a person only on a need-to-know basis. That's my own definition that I put in there. And why did I put that one in there? Because of being in the information technology field myself, the number one rule in information security is on a need-to-know basis. Information or the level of access that a person has to certain information is determined only on their need-to-know basis. You give somebody enough for them to do their job and no more. You know, you don't give them any more access than they need to have. And if certain information is protected, you know, because they don't need to know. Now, if we bring that into the world of discretion today, in this lesson, you'll see how that plays out. Right away, let's look at this context of need to know. Need to know. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Let me give you a few more definitions before I go there. Some people also say discretion is the quality of being cautious or reserved in speech or action. That's discretion. It is the, and here's one that is a popular one, the freedom to decide or choose what should be done in a particular situation. People say, well, use your discretion. You say, well, what should I do in this case? Well, just use your discretion. You know, so that's where that came from. You can also think of it as the ability to make responsible decisions. Now, choice and decisions go together. There's always a choice when we are trying to make a decision. It's not always a binary choice of yes or no, but there's always a choice. We should never say, I didn't have a choice in the matter. Some people say that, but there's no such thing. You always have a choice. You know, you have a choice. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 lays out a lot of the first 8 verses, a lot of things. You know, there's a time to do this. There's a time to do that. There's a time to speak. There's a time to withhold from speaking. There's a time for laughter. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for this and that. We have a choice. A choice to analyze the situation and respond appropriately. But sometimes we don't do that. And so we shoot from the hip or whatever because we don't use discretion. You know, so that statement about not having a choice is erroneous and we need to remove that from our mind. We always have a choice. And life is full of choices. Glory to God. Even this morning, God bless your hearts, every one of you that are here. But you had a choice. You had a choice also to come here or not. You know, and so, you know, me also, I was very tired last night. I set my alarm, and even before my alarm, something else woke me up. I had a call from overseas. And they don't care about what time of the night it is. They call you at some odd hour. Well, I had a choice to take that call or not. I choose to not take that call. Turned off my ringer. That's a choice. You know, when the alarm finally went off, I had a choice to get up or not get up. I mean, we have a choice for everything that we do. You know, when you're going to work this morning, you make up your choice. I mean, you know, make a decision, make up your mind, I meant to say. You can choose to get there on time or be late. You know, people go to the house of worship. They have a choice to go or not go. They have a choice to get there on time or not. I mean, all these, life is full of choices. Everything we do. But those things behind the choices we make is discretion. It's also the ability to make responsible decisions. Sometimes a choice boils down to a decision. Go this way or go that way. It's a choice, but it's also a decision that you have to make. So you see how that works together. It's also the quality of having or showing discernment. You know, somebody who doesn't have discretion, they just do things anyhow. You can liken them to somebody who has no discernment or even good judgment. When we're talking about, you know, choices, it also deals with how we react to something. We do not have the power to control what other people would do or other people would say. That's out of your control. However, you have the discretion on how you are going to respond. So we all have discretion on how we are going to respond to what somebody says or what somebody does as it affects us. You know. So, but we're going to talk about where discretion comes from in a minute. Discretion is also a companion to knowledge. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4. But let me revisit this subject of need to know for a minute. Need to know, on a need to know basis. I want to dwell on this a little bit because this is an area of discretion that, you know, many people need to learn. A talebearer, there are many scriptures about a talebearer in the Bible. A talebearer has no discretion. And you don't want to be a talebearer. That's the reason why they will reveal things that are intended to be secret. They don't know how to handle need to know basis. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13 will tell you about a talebearer. Now, talebearing has caused many and continue to cause many problems. You can also look at a talebearer, you know, as a person that backbites. You know, you can look at a talebearer as a person that sows discord. I mean, it's just so many ways. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. Now, something that was told to them that was intended to be a secret, they blab them out all over the place. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. I mean, can you imagine that somebody confides in someone, you know, during a session of one-on-one counseling or something? God forbid that a church leader or any kind of person in a position like that has no discretion. Then they go onto the stage and use that matter to preach something that was told them in private. Well, I've seen that happen. You know, and what does that create? It brings wounds. You know, even the words of, and some people don't know when they are talebearing. So I want to dwell on that a bit. You know, this talebearing gossip and backbiting spirit is all wrapped up in one. People don't know. Sometimes people don't even know when they're doing it. Well, some people do know. They do it intentionally. Others don't even know when they're doing it. They'll say, well, they want to tell you, you know, yeah, it is good to pray for people. But I have seen talebearing disguised, you know, as a spirit of, you know, saying, well, let's pray for this person. I've seen it. You have to use discernment. You know, it's not everything that everybody needs to know. You know, and sometimes some people will disguise that as, so, well, you know, this person and that person, they did this and that, you know, we need to pray for them all, you know, but it's talebearing. Still talebearing. It's not even wholesome in the body of Christ. We need to use discretion. Discretion would teach you what to say, when to say it, who to say it to, and even discretion on the side of the listener will teach you, you know, who to listen to and who not to listen to. You can say, well, I don't need to hear that, you know, because it doesn't concern me. And that will put an end to that right there and then. Don't lend your ear to talebearing. If you do, you're just as guilty. guilty by association, you know, because, you know, you are the one that's giving the tailbearer a platform. Now, if we do not listen to tailbearing, we can even do more than not just listening. I'll tell you the effect of tailbearing in a minute, then I'll tell you how we can stop it. Let's look at Proverbs 26 and verse 22. Now, tailbearing can bring and cause many deep wounds. People don't know that sometimes. And it is not necessary. It is something that can be avoided. The words of a tailbearer, it says in Proverbs 26 and 22, are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, and why are we talking of tailbearing? Because it is a person that is lacking discretion that does these things. Because they don't know, you know, when to speak and what not to speak. You know, they don't understand what should be revealed and what should not be revealed. And they create all kinds of things, problems, you know, even the... You know, but here's how you deal with it. How does the Bible recommend that we deal with that? Well, let's look at Proverbs 25 and verse 23. This is one way that we can deal with tailbearing and help to stop the spread of it. Here's how you do it. You know, he said, the north wind drieth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue, backbiting, tailbearing, sowing discord among brethren, they're all the same. You know, so if you respond with an angry countenance and don't give that tailbearer the light of day or that backbiting tongue or that person trying to sow discord, send them away. Don't even entertain them, it's, you know. And anytime that someone tries to tell you something that is of no concern to you, you have to use discernment to see whether or not they are truly in concern and care of that situation. Is it truly a matter of prayer or is it tailbearing? There's a difference between the two. You know, so we got to use discretion. And if it turns out that it's tailbearing, put up an angry countenance and send them away. Discourage them from doing that. Now, when somebody doesn't know how to use discretion, then they would not know, you know, when to not say something. And they create all kinds of problems. Let's look at the, you know, some of the things, you know, that the Bible also says about discretion. You know, discretion is what can keep us from evil many times. You know, a person that has discretion, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, talks about that. Let's read that one quickly. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Discretion shall deliver you, preserve you, and understanding shall keep you. To deliver you from the way of the evil woman, man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You know, discretion will keep you from listening to frowardness, which is what I've been talking about the last few minutes. You know, it will also deliver you from the strange woman. Read that in verse 16. It will deliver you even from the stranger that flattereth with her words. Discretion, you know, a man that has no discretion, the Bible says, the one that will go into his neighbor's wife. All of these things is because of lack of discretion. Not knowing how to properly discern the situation and know when to walk away and know when to say no. You know, and people who lack discretion, they make many they fall into diverse snares. You know, so let's pause a minute and think about that. If you lack discretion, you fall into diverse snares because you don't know when to refrain yourself or when to speak or when to take action. Discretion is what's behind all of these things. Even though sometimes it looks like prudence, and I said these things overlap. But when we use proper discretion, we'll make the right choices, the right elements of decisions in every situation. Now, let's look at what discretion can bring, more of the things that discretion can bring into our life. Discretion can also bring promotion. We saw that when we were talking about counsel. Counsel was what Joseph did in Egypt after he gave interpretation to Pharaoh. Then he used counsel. You know, he used counsel to tell Pharaoh what needs to be done. But Pharaoh said, call it discretion. Even Joseph himself said, find a man that is discreet. So we see that in that particular story, which we have covered extensively, so I don't want to go too much into it. You'll find that reference in Genesis 41, verses 39 to 44. God gave Joseph the talent of interpreting dreams, but he also used his ability to give counsel, wise counsel, and discretion to know what to do in a matter. In the days of plenty, here's what you need to do. Discretion is behind every decision and every choice we need to make. And that's what ended up giving Joseph that tremendous promotion. You can actually say, you know, initially, that there are two parts to this Joseph story. One part when he used discretion, another part when he did not. In the beginning, he did not use discretion. He had no business telling his brothers his dreams. It was none of their concern. You know, there's sometimes when you open your mouth at the wrong time and say what you shouldn't say, you get yourself into trouble. You know, even Joseph's father did not use discretion in preferring Joseph above his brethren. You know, gave him a coat of rainbow colors and clearly showed favoritism in the direction of Joseph. All these things made his brothers to hate him. And when he told them his dreams, they hated him even the more. Now, if Joseph had used discretion in those cases, he didn't have to tell them his dreams. Now, however, God turned their evil intentions around anyway because of the great mercies of God in bringing his purposes to pass, you know, for the prosperity, for posterity of saving Jacob and his family later on. He allowed those who would be, what I call would be destiny killers, to turn around. He turned their action around to actually become destiny helpers. They didn't know by their wickedness and all the evil plans they planned against Joseph, they were actually pushing him closer and closer towards the destiny of those dreams. However, if he had not opened his mouth in the first place, say those things, they probably would not have conspired against him. And God would still have brought those things to pass, one way or another. When I was a young man, my dad used to tell me this proverb, you know, that, you know, yam is some food that we eat in Nigeria and all that. I said, well, you're eating your yam and it's very white and luscious and looks very, you know, delicious. Cover it with your hands so nobody sees what you are eating. I never knew what that meant for a long time. You know, let me put it to you this way. Not everybody has your good at heart. Let me just tell it to you that way. Even in the circle of believers, you say, well, you're spreading conspiracy theories. No, I'm just calling it as it is. It's not a conspiracy theory. I've been around the block a few times. You know, people, not everybody cares about your good. Some people are envious. You know, some people backstab you and so forth. I mean, you tell somebody something, you may even share something, you know, with them, maybe something that you are joyful about, you share with them. I've seen this happen. Then they go and say it someplace else, despitefully, because they are envious. People don't, you know, look, because a lot of people are walking in the flesh, even when they say they are believers. So they allow the flesh to get the better of them. So handle your affairs with discretion. Discretion is what gives you the ability to do that. If you do not know how to handle your affairs, then you are going to, you know, you're going to put yourself out into trouble many times. Psalm 112 verse 5 will tell you how that you needed to, everyone needs to handle their affairs. Affairs means everything that you concerns you. You know, you handle your affairs with discretion. A good man showeth favor. Psalm 112 verse 5. And lend it. Guide his affairs with discretion. Well, you need to guide your affairs with discretion. If you do not guide your affairs with discretion, you put out your matter to everybody and they will just, you know, sometimes they will do you more harm. And just like I talked about talebearers, there are some people that don't know how to not say what they should not say. You know, and I jokingly say this sometimes, but it's true. If, you know, there are certain people that if you don't want anybody to know anything, actually, let me put it this way. If you want everybody to know something, but you really don't want to tell everybody yourself, go tell it to this person and say, don't tell anybody. Because that's just who they are. They're going to go and blab. They'll advertise that thing all over the place. You know, that was your intent anyway, but you told them, hey, you know, don't tell anybody. But they're going to tell everybody. You know, so if you want your matter to be out in the street, as people say, your business in the street, tell it to this one person. You know, the whole street will know about it. You know, but guide your affairs with discretion. People don't always care about you like you think. You know, and, you know, in religious circles, you know, we've seen this story. We've seen the wounded man that was wounded by the armed robbers when he went from Jerusalem to Jericho. We've seen how the religious leaders, what they did and left him wounded like that. Didn't care about him. You know, there are many, many more things that we can say about that. But guide your affairs with discretion. It's not, you know, you have to also know what to say, when to say it. You know, even for your own affairs, it's not everybody you have to tell everything. Listen to this also. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 23. This is one of the places we read. Discretion will keep you in the way so that you don't take the wrong turn. Also, the same chapter, Proverbs 3:21-22. It'll give life to your souls and grace to your neck. This is all discretion. Discretion will keep you from the strange woman. Likewise, the women keep you from strange men. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. I'm covering the benefits already. I'm trying to go through this quickly today. Discretion will also keep you from the company of unrighteous folks and evildoers. You'll find that also in the same chapter of Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Now, that Proverbs chapter 2 is amazing. You should read all of it. You know, so where does discretion come from? Well, let's read Isaiah 28, verse 26. You remember we were talking about the inspiration of the Almighty the other day. We also talked about the counsel, how it comes from the Lord and is deep in the heart, and the man of understanding will draw it out. Well, likewise, let's look at Isaiah 28 and 26. And where does discretion come from? He said, well, your God will instruct you to discretion and will teach you. You know, so discretion comes from the Lord. Discretion comes from the Lord. You know, just like the Bible says, prudent wife is from the Lord. Well, a woman that has discretion is also from the Lord. You know, so these things about discretion. And look at here, let's look at this scripture. This is actually a sad depiction of somebody that doesn't have discretion. Proverbs 11:22. Although it mentions women here, it is just, you know, I'm not against women or anything like that, but this is in the Bible, you know, so I want to read it. As a jaw of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, what does that mean? It can be beautiful and all of that, you know, but if you don't have discretion, I mean, look at putting a, you know, jewel in the nose of a pig. This is the comparison. This is sad. You know, a woman that has no discretion, you know, they will do, you know, just like Jezebel did in the Bible. She dressed up, she painted her nose, she does all these things. She stuck herself out there, you know, trying to attract somebody. You know, and that didn't work. You know, that didn't work at all. Somebody that had discretion said, look, go now and throw her down from that place. So a woman that doesn't have discretion, the Bible says, it's just like she may be beautiful and everything like that, and she may be putting herself out as a snare. She doesn't have discretion. She probably doesn't know how to cover herself up, doesn't know how to dress properly, and not make herself an, you know, a snare, you know, and an entrapment to men whose eyes are already wanton in the first place. The man also that has no discretion is no better. We're all in this same thing. You know, the other day, my wife and I were coming from the service. It was just this last Sunday, 3 days ago. As we were driving, she pointed my attention to some man that was walking down the street on the other side. I mean, he had his pants down, his drawers and everything were showing. I'm like, I said, well, that's indecent exposure. The man should be arrested. I don't know why the police don't do that. Well, they say, well, you know, it's not in the law of the land. Well, you know, it should have been arrested. You know, so all these things that people do, if you do not have discretion, you will not know how to set boundaries, even in your relationships. If you don't have discretion, you won't know how to keep your hedge up and not have it broken to allow a serpent to come in and bite. You know, platonic relationships, when they start initially like that, I say, oh, you know, it's just nothing. We're just friends. Well, the next thing you know, because of lack of discretion, one thing leads to another, and then regret. When people have no discretion, you know, they don't even know how to exercise management of their time. We talked about prudence before, but this is all part of discretion too. They all, you know, walk hand in hand, and they overlap sometimes. You know, somebody who is discreet in their ways They know how to redeem the time. You know, they know that, look, right now I should be spending time doing this and so forth. Discretion. Discretion will lead them. And let me talk about people who are in business or trying to go into business for themselves. And I've seen this. You know, this is also about guiding your affairs with discretion and not putting your stuff out there to everybody. You know, we've seen people trying to go into business. Well, first of all, they didn't learn enough about the business, so they didn't use discretion and knowledge. But even then, they put out their business. This is really putting your business out for everybody. Tell everybody what they are trying to do. Think that they are doing something, I don't know. Maybe think that they are, you know, putting themselves up for, you know, for to be sought out, you know, by telling everybody the secrets of your business. Well, the next thing you know, those people you told, they gain the same. I've seen this happen. They gain the same knowledge and become the competitors, and then turn around and even stab them in the back because they did not use discretion. Guide your affairs with discretion. What does Jesus say about, you know, serpents and doves? He said, be cunning or wise as serpent, but harmless as doves. What does a serpent do? A serpent will be, you know, some. There are even some of them that are, you know, almost like chameleons. They have the ability to blend in and hide among the bush and things like that. And they just blend in, they hide, and they're waiting to strike. They don't come out in the open. But so Jesus is saying, look, use those kind of stealth tactics sometimes, but not for evil. That's why he said, be harmless. But don't put yourself out all the time. You got to be wise. Jesus even said, don't put your pearls, you know, before dogs, and your holy things before swine, or your pearls before swine, your holy things before dogs. Otherwise, you know, they will turn again. I mean, they will trample all those things down, and then they will turn again and rend you. What does that mean? You know, what does it mean for us to not do that? Well, it is this same thing that we're talking about. Because if you, your pearls are your precious things. Hallelujah. The precious things that you have. These are, you know, Matthew chapter 7 verse 6 tells you something like that. Give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You know, many times Jesus said some things, but he just left it there. He didn't go into too much detail. But there's a lot of wisdom in all the things he said. Jesus wasn't always only talking about spiritual things all the time. He talked about things even in the material realm most of the time. Most of his speech were like this. You know, he would talk about rain, a man that built his house upon the sand, a man that built his house upon the rock. He always used natural things, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Natural things. You know, if you are a father, will you give your child who asks you bread, stone, and so on? He would always use all these words, wheat, stone, bread, you know, rain, that corn of feed, a sower seed, and all these things. He tried to not use, you know, any great big swelling words that nobody will understand. And so here, he said, give not that which is holy to dogs. But he just left it there. He didn't really go into too much detail. You know, but he said, neither cast your pearls. Yeah, pearls is something that somebody holds very dear. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Again, it could also mean many things, you know. Things that you hold dearly. Be careful now. Guide your affairs with discretion. If you do carelessly and just throw everything out there, well, they will trample everything down, Jesus says. Read again Next time you read Matthew 7 and 6, pray that the Lord will reveal it to you. It will trample them down under their feet, and then they will turn again and rend you. and there are some people that when we were, when we were doing prudence, I think I covered certain categories of people either to surround yourselves with or disengage from. There are some classes of people I call users who only care what they can get from you. When they get those things, they might even turn and stab you in the back. You know, they use you only for the influence they can get from you. They don't really care about you. And after they got whatever they want from you to build themselves up, then they turn around, stab you in the back. You know, be careful now, because Jesus gave us these lessons. So there are many scriptures throughout the Bible that give us wisdom, not only just in the book of Proverbs. I just read this one in Matthew here. Wisdom on how to handle our affairs. So, I did not want today's lesson to be very long. But here's another thing about discretion. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Discretion is what's going to even help you sometimes to curtail anger. This is how the Bible puts it. In Proverbs 19 and verse 11, he said, the discretion of a man will defer his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Look, you don't have to engage in everything. Some things you let go. We covered that also before. But it's your discretion to make a choice how you're going to react. You know, if somebody offends you, are you going to pass it over? It's a transgression. Somebody transgress against you, offend you. Are you going to pass it over? If you pass it over, the Bible says it's to your glory. You know, your discretion is going to help you to defer your anger. You know, you don't have to get angry and, get stirred up over every little thing, fly off the handle, freak out over everything. You know, you have discretion, like I said in the beginning. You may not be able to control what people are going to say or do to you, but right here, you have if you have discretion, you have power over your spirit, so that you don't go into anger unnecessarily. And your discretion will help you. You will know that, look, it's not even worth the time. Hallelujah. It's not worth the time of day. And you just move on. So spend your time on something that is more beneficial for you and for the good of mankind, rather than, developing the root of bitterness over something, it may not even be anything at all. And so discretion is what will guide us away from those things. Now, looking back on some of the things that we have taught, you'll see that many of these pillars overlap. It's hard to draw a fine line, black and white, between some of these pillars. For instance, prudence and some of the things we are covering here in discretion. Even counsel and discretion. Was it counsel that Joseph used in giving Pharaoh advice, or was it discretion? And so on and so forth. But the one thing that I want to be very clear about discretion here that I want to talk about is this business of need to know. I cannot overemphasize that, because that's an area that we all need to practice and do a better job at. It's not everything you need to tell everybody. So especially things that don't concern them. This is a serious problem, even in the body of Christ. People don't understand that this is a problem. It's like a cancer. Creates all kinds of, problems. The devil can use that to create evil in the heart of somebody. If you go tell them something that they don't need to know about somebody else, now the next time they see that person, the devil will sow that thought in their heart, which was of none of their concern in the first place. So these are not things that, we need to be careful. people talk about transparency. That just came to me in my spirit. You know, let me talk about transparency. Transparency is about, I mean, being transparent, and being vulnerable and all this stuff. That's about you. That's about situations that you are responsible and accountable for. It's not about somebody else. If you want to be transparent about yourself. Be accountable for things that you did, you are responsible for. That's about you, not about somebody else. It is not transparency at all when you are revealing something that's about somebody else. It's still bearing. It is of no concern to the third party, and you have no business telling them about it. So we need to practice need to know. And not only do we need to practice need to know in that regard, we also need to practice need to know in something, you know, that we want to be inquisitive about that doesn't concern us. Yes, we need to gain knowledge on matters of importance. But when there is a matter that is being discussed that is not of your concern, you overhear it, you know, just not because you are necessarily eavesdropping, but I mean, you didn't close your ears. You walked by and you overheard it. Don't seek to know it if it's of no use of your concern. Just move on, you know. Brush it out of your mind and move on, you know. But some people, you know, they know. They want to know. Inquiry minds want to know. You know, they want to know. They want to get involved, you know. It's just the spirit of gossip. It's the spirit of tail-bearing, the spirit of backbiting and all these things. And it needs to stop. People need to exercise themselves in discretion. For me, you know, I mean, our brain bank is limited. Don't fill your brain bank with stuff that shouldn't be there. You fill it with too much stuff, there'll be no room left for the good stuff. Purge all that stuff out of there. There's no need. You know, there are many things I try to not even remember. You know, I just brush them off my mind and move on. You know, because it's none of my concern. I don't need to know. But if, you know, until I believe that I need to know, you know, but, you know, it's not everything that I need to know. Why do I need to know everything? There are things that I need to learn, things that are beneficial. We covered that when we did knowledge. But I'm not talking about, here I'm talking about fears about others. It doesn't concern me at all. Now, God may reveal something, and that will be because of prayer. We have to also be careful about we call it the peeping and the muttering spirit. Some people have peeping spirits. I've even had to deal with somebody that had a peeping spirit who thought they were a seer. Yeah, they were indeed a seer. God indeed gave them a gift and the ability to see certain things. But God was calling them into the spirit, into the ministry of intercession. But they, because of lack of discretion, that thing very quickly turned into a peeping and muttering spirit. You know, now they want to come out into the fellowship and say, what the Lord showed them about somebody. They say, well, I was in my room, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing what you're doing. You know, now that's a peeping spirit. Now, they come out in the public, then that's a muttering spirit. Then they are going to come and say, what business is it for anybody else? And then they will not even pray. They just want to show that, you know, they have this power to see something. So what does that even mean? And at one time I had to confront that in a fellowship that I belonged to. Finally, after I got tired of it, I had to confront it. You know, so, you know, it's just like Paul, you know, in the Acts 16, finally got tired of that spirit of divination. And one day he had to deal with it. Yeah, so look, let's be careful of these things. Trying to peep into other people's businesses that don't concern you at all. It's a peeping spirit. People need to get away from it. Now, if God indeed truly showed you something about somebody, it is for prayer. If you have a spirit of, if you have the ministry, you know, of intercessory prayer, occasionally or even several times, God may show you something about somebody. It is for you to pray. It's not even for you to discuss it with, not even the person that God showed you about. Not necessarily. You know, sometimes that backfires. We can't tell them. It's for you to pray and pray through. I mean, if it's danger that God showed, then we need to pray and pray it through. And the same God that showed it to you, that called you into prayer, will give you the answer of peace when it is done. When you've gotten that victory in prayer. And then you move on. That's it. You know, it's not, you don't have to go and reveal it or tell it to somebody else. So no concern to anybody else. If it was their concern, God would tell them. You know, so this is the thing that I want to hammer on mostly in the room today. Because this is a cancer that is eating away at the body of Christ. And it is couched many times, disguised under this and that. And it's a peeping spirit at best. And we need to get rid of it. Now, if you exercise discretion, it's like discernment. You can discern these things. You know, not everything that comes to you to be told to you is, you know, in the right spirit. By discretion and discernment, you will be able to tell that it is a peeping spirit. It's a backbiting spirit. It is a tail-bearing spirit. It's a spirit that sows discord. And then you get rid of it with an angry countenance. That's what the Bible says. You know, sowing discord is a terrible thing. The other day, you know, my wife was reading that out of Proverbs and saying, you know, these are horrible things. Six things that God hates, and seven, the one that sows discord among brethren. Look, it's a terrible thing. And any tongue that says something against somebody else to the hearing of the third party, which doesn't concern them, it's just to sow discord. Because the effect of that on the third party, which didn't concern them, is for them to have a negative view of the other person. You know, which was none of their business to start with. To their master, they stand all for, and God is able to raise them up again. If you care about them, pray for them. Hallelujah. Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, look, you know, if any man even, if we see, you know, a brother that is overtaken in a fault or whatever, you know, those of us that think that we are spiritual, How should we go about it? Well, I can read it in first few verses of Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are we bearing another's burdens when we go and put their street out their business out in the street and make it even a harder burden for them to bear? You know, so let's not do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson for today. I was trying to wrap it up at the top of the hour, and we are right there. Did not want this room to go very long today. In summary, we are going to pray for the spirit of discretion, or this pillar of discretion in our life. The prayer is that it will help me to guide my affairs aright. And if you do and practice this discretion, we've seen how it led to great promotions in the life of Joseph. So that's going to be our topic today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave it right there, but for prayer, I will pray over the room now, and then we can discuss. And remember, tomorrow, by the grace of God, I am going to cover the last of these pillars, which is sound judgment. I have a lot to say on that one. The last few rooms have been very long, and I was determining in my heart that today's room will not be long. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the lessons that we have learned about discretion. I pray, Lord, that you deliver us from the spirit of tail-bearing, backbiting, gossiping, sowing discord among brethren. You know, help us also with discernment, that we may recognize the traits of a peep spirit and get away from it. Give us the power to be able to say no to talebearing, hallelujah, with an angry countenance to drive them away. But above all, give us this ability to know how to guide our own affairs with discretion, protecting our own interests. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. Welcome to the room.